Okay, so today we'll learn maybe a very famous Pnei Yehoshua. We don't often talk about the Pnei Yehoshua in this setting, as this is more dedicated towards Divrei Machshava. But the Pnei Yehoshua asks a very famous question about Hanukkah. There's a halacha that if everyone is tameh, or all the material necessary for a particular carbon are tameh, then you can still process kachim even through tumah. That's known as tumah hutra b'tzibur, or tumah dechuyah b'tzibur, which essentially means that tumah is a relative concept. Tumah is only tameh if some things are tahar. If everything's tameh, then nothing's tameh, at least when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, because the show must go on. The Avodah's Beis HaMikdash must continue. So there are two different shittos, whether it's a dichoy or whether it's a hutter. But essentially, this is the Pnei Yehoshua's question. So much melodrama about finding tar oil, why don't they just use tameh oil? If all the oil is tameh, then you can still light the menorah with tameh oil. And in fact, it's likely that that halachic directive was employed for other types of oil, for example, a korban mincha. You need to bring a korban mincha every day. We don't hear any reports about the struggle to find oil for the korban mincha. Okay, so presumably that oil was easier to find because the blend of oil for a korban mincha is a much less pure blend than for the menorah. For the menorah, you need kasis, lamor, the first couple drops that you squeeze from an olive. So that oil presumably was more scarce, was more rare. But presumably, there was some employment of that halachic, it's not even a leniency, it's a mitzvah, to be makriv at korban mincha, even with shemen that's tameh. Okay, so there's a debate whether that same leniency applies to the menorah. Is the menorah considered a halachic avoda? But the question is a very, very compelling one. Why was there such a drama about using oil that was tar? So I'll give two answers. One answer which the Pnei Yehoshua gives, and then a slightly different answer, but it's cut from the same mold. That the Jewish people sensed the moment with a capital M. And in that moment, they didn't just rely on halachic leniencies or halachic allowances. They felt that this moment demanded tahara. This moment demanded the ideal. This moment demanded Shemen Tahar. And therefore, they took extraordinary measures to try to identify and locate Shemen Tahar, even though halachically they could have dispensed with less. What was the sense of the moment? So the Pnei Yehoshua talks about the fact that the second Beis HaMikdash was a very sad period. They got a sense that it wouldn't in any way compete with the first Beis HaMikdash. There were many miracles that were absent in the second Beis HaMikdash. And they started to feel as if maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forsaken them. Pre-Galus, this was an important message that Hashem hadn't forsaken them. And in particular, one of the miracles that was so intriguing about the first Beis HaMikdash that didn't exist in the second Beis HaMikdash was the Ner Maravi. And one of those Neros of the menorah never extinguished. That miracle didn't occur in the second Beis HaMikdash. Since the days of Shimon HaTzadik, which wasn't too much earlier than the Nes of Hanukkah, the Ner Maravi started to extinguish. And we can't even imagine how traumatic that was. To have a miracle that had lasted for hundreds of years in the Beis HaMikdash and was such a clear and overt sign of Hashem's presence and love, all of a sudden that miracle ceases, that miracle grounds to a halt. And then a few years later, during this great challenge of the Greeks, there's a miracle that surrounds the menorah once again. The entire menorah burns for 8 days. So they saw this as a sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu winking at them, demonstrating he still loves them. That same menorah that had suffered, the loss of a miracle, now was the pivot for a great miracle. So they sensed the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the response was, let's show you our love, that we're so dedicated, we're not just going to rely on Shemen Tameh, let's try to use Shemen Tahar and respond, and for ourselves, acknowledge the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reminded us of his love for us. In fact, that could be seen as almost a narrative for the entire story. If a Greek comes over to you and says, don't perform Milo on your son or else I'll kill you. Should you perform Mila? Is Mila Yehari Velyavar? Well, it may be in a Shas Hashmad. And this may have been Shas Hashmad, although the details of Shas Hashmad, how public was it, how collective was it. But in theory, you could have made a case against the entire premise of Ner Hanukkah, of the Nes of Hanukkah. You could have made a case for, okay, so we won't keep Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so we won't keep Shabbos. Okay, so we won't keep Mila. Or at least we'll go underground, as Jews did later, in later centuries of Shmad. But there's a sense that we're fighting for something larger. We're fighting for our national identity and history. We're fighting to prove that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still engage in this relationship with the Jewish people. He hasn't forsaken us during the days of the Mikdash that is a pale shadow of the first Mikdash. And from their perspective, that response had to be Shem and Tahar. A slightly different idea. They also got the sense that they were starting something new. In a very literal sense, they were reinaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash had been defiled. In a larger historical sense, as I keep telling you, they had a sense that Galus was about to begin, and that the energies of Hanukkah would somehow sustain them through Galus. Whenever you start something, you have to start on the right foot. Can you imagine starting the Beis HaMikdash with Shem and Tameh? It's one thing to bring Shem and Tameh on a regular day. There's no one that's tar, there's no Shemin that's tar, so you just use Shemin Tameh. But this is opening day, this is the first pitch. This is the day that the entire project of rejuvenating the Beis HaMikdash is beginning. Whenever you start a project, it started on the right foot. A very famous story, that Chaim Volozhiner, who started the Volozhiner Yeshiva, once met Rav Zalman Margolis, who also started a yeshiva, but his yeshiva somehow never gained traction. So Rav Zalman Margolis asked Rav Chaim Volozhiner, why was your yeshiva so successful and my yeshiva belly flopped? So Chaim Volozhin asked Rav Zalman, what did you do the first day of yeshiva? Zalman said, the first day of yeshiva, we had a party, we had dancing, we had food, we had a Siddur's mitzvah. And Chaim Volozhin said, the first day of Volozhin, we had a tainus. We fasted. We davened to Hashem that this project should have siyata d'shmaya. There's a sense of when you renew something. Why did the Jews have to leave Mitzrayim b'chipazon? Because we started Jewish history. Started Jewish history has to be with energy, with enthusiasm, with speed, not with your left foot, so to speak. So keep it in mind in life, whenever you start a project, a marriage, one day your wedding day, what type of religious content will you want to breathe into your wedding day? Because it's the start of your marriage. And you want to start your marriage in a religious tone. You'll make a siyum. Do you want to daven in a certain fashion? You want to go to the mikveh the day of Yerup? People go to the mikveh. It's a minhag, obviously. If the woman has to go to the mikveh, for a male, it's a minute to go to the mikveh. So when you start a project, think about Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah, they had a sense that we're starting something new, a new period in Jewish history, a new induction of the Beis HaMikdash. And even though halachically, they could have dispensed with Shem and Tameh, they took extraordinary measures. Here's the Shem, next week we'll start the new Zman, the second half of Charis month. Tuesday can't just be like Thursday or Monday. Like, take a few moments on Tuesday. What do I want to accomplish the next 2 months? Where have I fallen short? How can I bring new energy? You have to have a sense of the moment. People don't have a sense of the moment. Life just rolls on in an unexamined fashion. New opportunities are lost, squandered. So they sense, according to the Minhag Shul, they sense like the Baruch Hu winking at them. The menorah that had lost its magic, that was magical. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still engaged in this relationship with them. And what I'm saying is slightly different. The common denominator is they could have used Shem and Tameh, but they chose to try to use Shem and Tameh. Okay, so once again, reconvene on Tuesday. And then the next couple of days, maybe it's a nice minute for everyone to just sit down wherever you'll daven in the next couple of days and learn a few minutes of Hanukkah. Take a Hanukkah safer with you. Just sit down for a few minutes just to keep your momentum.